And I'll do the I'll take care of it. I'll get in the garage and it'll be awesome and it'll look awesome. And when you're cleaning something nice, like, can you imagine this? If you had a Ford Pinto as a car, do you wash it and you wax it and keep up with it? If you had a Lambo as a car, do you wash it and wax it and keep up with it? Like, you know, you had to take a little more pride in that Lambo and washing and waxing it, right?
Why did the Pinto just catch a stray?
Catch a stray just because the Pinto, nobody wants a Pinto. So, when you have a great garage floor, you clean your garage more often. I do. Our garage is in good shape. We love it. Get that high-performance epoxy base, polysporadic. I use that word once during the show a day there, but your garage is going to look great, more functional. It's our awesome friends over at Carolina Flooring Specialists, the most advanced team out there, the most experienced team out there. It's CarolinaFlooringSpecialists.com, 404-8158. All right, we're going to get into the disagreement today. Our decision to be in a good mood that we do in hour one is taking effect. 4250 just says, good morning, Mickey. I'm jamming out to that intro. It's going to be a great day today.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
What I wanted to hear.
That brings me joy.
It does.
Let's do it.
This is from 7575. I'd love to have that phone number, by the way. Hey, man, give me a buzz. 912-7575. He says, I love y'all's decisions. This is the day the Lord has made to rejoice and be glad in it. It's going to be a great day. In case you don't listen to the first hour, Ashby and I every day, we make a decision at some point in time beforehand if we're going to be in a good mood or not, if it's going to be a good day or not, because we control that, and that's what we decided to do. So good.
We both made the decision today.
Yeah.
This is not to be confused with the LeBron decision. We really do need to, like, trademark a name for it.
Something.
We do.
Something.
Great stuff.
Yeah. All right. What we talked about was how many points you take in Baton Rouge. 53-90 says, I'd be okay with a 31-17 loss to LSU. But I think it's going to end up. I think that's what it's going to end up. But I'd also be okay with 6-6 win over South Carolina. Sad how bad we've fallen, he says.
Okay. Your turn. Points you would take in LSU. All right. 7.
No.
10.
No.
14.
No.
17.
Nope.
20.
Yeah.
20. Okay. Tell me why.
I just think, you know, points aren't always about offense. It's field position. It's a turnover. I do feel good about the kicking game. And maybe Hoosier can hit him a couple of bombs or something. Defense scores.
I actually feel good about that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mitch said I'd take losing by 10. If I'm losing by 10 or more, I'm disappointed. Yeah, and again, this is not a moral victory stand. It's just a tall task. Your 11.5-point underdogs is a tall task through all that. All right. When we ended the show yesterday, Chad from Columbia called in, and what he said was the whole comparison of the art class and the math class. This is a golf thing. In golf, you'll have a guy that will flare it off to the right, barely in bounds. He'll punch it out 100 yards short of the green. He'll kind of skull one up there 25 feet from the hole, and then make a 25-foot par putt. And the saying in golf is, it's a math class, not an art class. It's a par. You just made a 4. That's it.
It's like Jordan Spieth.
Yeah.
Bread and butter.
It doesn't matter how. It doesn't matter what it looks like. On the scorecard, we're going to write down a 4. And in many college football seasons, it's going to be a math class. Georgia is a math class this year. Georgia's going to win 12 regular season games or 11 regular season games. And what it looks like is inconsequential. It doesn't matter. Georgia's going to be better than everybody on their schedule. And anything less than 11 regular season wins is going to be a disappointment for Georgia. That's it. And you can fumble your way and fiddle fart your way around it, or you could go in there and blow people out, and it doesn't matter. It's just that's what it was with Trevor and Deshaun, that you're going to win these games. So who cares if you barely hang on and barely beat Troy? Who cares if you blow out blow out Notre Dame. Like, I mean, I didn't want to blow out Notre Dame, but the point is, like, it didn't matter. For Clemson, this year, the art class does matter.
Yes.
The reason it matters is Clemson's not going to win the national championship this year. Clemson's not going to win the ACC this year, I don't think. And this is not the referendum year on Dabo Swinney, in my opinion, because unless it gets really bad, because what he's got to have coming out is now he's using the portal more. Now he's recruiting and spending more money recruiting. I told you my number one goal for the season for Clemson football is on November the 29th. That's the day the regular season ends, the day after. I need to have hope for 27. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a whole lot of hope for 26 after 25. The day after the South Carolina game, actually the day after the bowl game, I'm like, man, 26 today, it's not going to be a great year for
him. Spirits were low that day.
I need to feel better about 27. This needs to be a building block year, not a rebuild year, but I need to have a foundation I can move on, and a lot of that depends on the quarterback play in the offense and Chad Morris. So where are we – and we agree upon that.
Yeah.
Where we disagree upon, and correct me if I'm wrong, you think 10-2, no one gets fired and everything's hunky-dory. I think 10-2 and one side of the ball looks terrible and the other one looks great. I think there's a reset. So you want to go first?
Here's my thought process. Okay. The art of it all is super important. If you don't have a great season, okay? If you are 8 wins or fewer, the art of how you get there means a lot, right? Did your quarterback get hurt? And that's why you started losing games. But he's going to be back. Did you figure out who your starting quarterback is going to be later in the season? Does your offense look great and your defense couldn't stop anybody? Do you have hope for next year? That all is paramount importance because it gives you a narrative for the offseason if you weren't that good win-wise, okay?
Okay.
However, winning covers a multitude of sins. It does. If you go out after a 7-6 year when you were a preseason top 4 team, when no one believes in you, and you go out and go 10-2, yes, you're going to feel hope. And that number matters more than how you got there. Because no matter how you got there, you found ways to win games. Okay, if your offense doesn't look great in year one under Chad Morris, but you go 10-2, I'm okay with that. I will live with that. You know why? Because I'm in a position to build off of because we won. That's my take.
Okay. I have questions on that.
Okay.
One of your points was Chad Morris is in year one, mm-hmm. and you're not going to fire him after year one.
No.
Tom Allen's year two. Mm-hmm. If Clemson went 10-2, but beat everybody 43-42, and they gave up 450 yards a game, and the offense had to bail them out every single week, and the defense was atrocious, is Tom Allen safe?
Maybe not.
Because of year one or year two?
Maybe not, because it's not his first year.
Okay. All right. Let me throw these scenarios out to you then.
Okay.
Do you think Chad Morris is safe, or the offense is safe, for no major changes coming on the offensive end if both Fasina and Reynolds look bad? The offense sputters all year long. They win these nasty, dirty, muck 'em up games. And the hope for the offense and Moore and Wesco go pro. And the offensive line's not very good, but you win these field position wars. The defense is incredible. And you average 20 points a game, and you average 302 yards of offense a game. You think Morris is safe in that no matter what because it's year one?
Yes.
How do you sell the offense? The 10-2 is the only thing that matters in your opinion, and I don't disagree with that part of it, but how do you sell, hey, man, in 27, here's what we're going to do? Because Fasina stinks it up, and Reynolds stinks it up, and Denson doesn't even play a factor at all. And like, what are you building on, and how do you sell 27?
The decision to make it a Christopher Fasina and Tate Reynolds – battle in the first place and not a transfer guy. That wasn't Chad Morris's decision. I think the first thing you do is you go get a transfer guy that Chad picks out, and you say, all right, Chad, you do what you did with Tom Allen this past year, is say, okay, Coach Allen, you go get your guys. You talk about wanting fast, long safeties and corners. You go get them, and we'll see what you're working with. You get if you just gave Tom Allen that, you give Morris.
Why did they do that
on
offense, though?
I think because he just got there.
But I think Chad wanted to.
You know what? See how it works with the guys that were there for a year. I understand that.
I just don't understand Dabo not taking a quarterback and putting this entire thing. You take your safety net away. In the scenarios, we talk about scenarios, okay? And all the things that could happen. If he'd have taken a portal quarterback, then he covers his butt on everything. He CYAs everything. All right? The scenario is that the transfer portal quarterback wins the job. And Clemson does great offensively. Hey, I did it. I took the quarterback. I did what you wanted me to do. The transfer, you take the transfer quarterback, but Messina beats him out and Reynolds beats him out. Hey, I tried to do it your way, but my way is better. I took him anyway, but we did great. If you take the quarterback and you lose, take the portal quarterback and you lose, and then you go, hey, man, I tried it. I tried to do the quarterback. It didn't work. The only scenario in which you take away all insurances, all safety nets, is if you don't take a transfer quarterback. I don't understand that decision at all.
Do you know what Dabo said in that January press conference about it? He said he was talking about the quarterback room, right? And specifically he mentioned, if we took a portal quarterback, we knew that we weren't going to keep all the guys that we have. Which makes me think that he was not ready to give up, that he knew a portal quarterback would be better than a Vezina. He didn't know that. And so he went with what he did know what he had seen in front of him and took that bet.
Do you, in your mind, not his mind, in your mind, you don't think they could have gone out and got somebody better than Vezina?
I'm telling you what he said.
I know that. In your mind, do you think you'd go in the portal and get a better quarterback than Christopher Vezina?
I don't know how much they were willing to pay for a big-time guy that would be better. Because you know who'd be expensive in the transfer portal? Christopher Vezina.
He would?
Yes.
I don't see people knocking that door down. I don't.
Look, I think that's where he's coming from. If you wanted to spend big money, yes.
What has Vezina done in 3 years that would say he deserves a big ticket? In the portal, like he can go get transfer portal money.
It'd be off of potential. It'd be off of size, and it'd be off of the one start, whatever. Okay. There's guys like him that don't have much starting experience that got opportunities in the portal. Yeah.
Now, let me finish it on this, and we're going to continue. Well, we've got Josh Williams. I got to ask Josh this, but let me say this: I do think. Of the scenarios that are out there with all the possibilities that we talked about, I do think that it might sound like I don't believe it at all. I do believe the game manager part of it, the processing part of it.
Yes.
I do believe that that can work. I don't know it's going to work. I don't believe it's going to work. But I do think it is within the realm of possibility that it works. And he's much better than we thought. This time last year, I was telling you that Ty Simpson was going to be a disaster at Alabama, and Lenore Sellers is going to be a star at South Carolina. And I was 100% wrong about both of them. The difference, though, in Ty Simpson is Ty Simpson has a rocket on his right underneath
his
right shoulder.
Absolutely.
And I worry about that ball hanging up a little bit in the air. And I worry about that. I worry about the turnover aspect of it. And I worry about the when you put Vezina in the game last year, outside the SMU game, the offense came to screeching halts, and it looked like it was just check down Charlie. There's nothing, there's no confidence in anything about advancing down the field. That's year three in. That's what the spring game looked like before that. That's 3 years into it. I've not seen anything to give me confidence that the ball will be advanced down the field. The SMU game, yes, but hopefully we'll get more SMU secondaries to play against. But I just don't have the confidence that the ball will be pushed down the field. And then we saw in the Sugar Bowl in 17, if you can't push it down the field, what it does to the running game underneath passing game.
If it is a quarterback issue this year that holds back Clemson's offense, that's you can't hold Chad Morris liable.
I agree with that because that's but you hold Dabo liable.
Yes, which means he's gonna go get a portal quarterback if that's what happens.
And then you have hope for 27.
Yep, there you go. Solving world problems.
All right. I need hope, man. As the late Jesse Jackson would say, keep hope alive. I got to have hope, man. I got to have hope. Short break. I'll ask Josh Williams that same question when we come back after this.
Our hosts listen to themselves talk all day long.
Make your thoughts known
and vote on all of our Ingles poll questions. Find them in the poll section on our website
at theroarfm.com.
The Roar.
The Roar. Where every day is game day.
Double Dog Video, Double Dog Dare. I just like saying it. Double Dog Video, Double Dog Dare. Get with John. Get with the team at Double Dog Video. These people do an incredible job for you. They will. They're going to give you the writing of the copy in case you don't know how to do that. A lot of you know what you want to say. But let's let John look at that and edit that copy. And then let's do the videography and the angles and the lighting and how that works out. Man, that expertise pays off to paint that picture for you. And then let's do the editing of the video and let him take care of all that and put that thing together and piece it and it just works. It's amazing what you think in your head and what it comes out the other way. We loved it, and we love the fact that if we didn't love it, then we'd get our money back. The Double Dog Dare. Take it. It's any video you need. Much more affordable than you'd ever think about. DoubleDogVideo.com.
The MLB lives here.
That ball is gone!
The Roar.
Life moves fast, and finding time for the dentist shouldn't feel like a second job. Ace Smiles is doing things differently. Need an appointment before work? They're open at 7 a.m. How about after picking up the kids from daycare? They're open late until 7 p.m., Monday through Thursday. Friday appointments available 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Or grab a weekend Saturday appointment. Early, late, or weekend appointments are available now at ace-smiles.com. Ace Smiles, located in Liberty, just off Highway 123.
When comfort matters most, trust Davis Services to keep your home running smoothly. Every spring, hundreds call us when they're eight.
The best of Twitter that I got yesterday, or X, because there was one anti-SEC tweet I saw that you need to stay tuned for 7:45 this morning. But I want to talk some college football, some Clemson football, and maybe even a little Major League Baseball trade deadline. Josh Williams joins us. Good morning, J-Dub. How you doing this morning?
Hey, man, I'm doing well. How are you?
Great. I want to save the end of the segment for some Clemson football questions. Ashby and I are having a debate right now, and I'll get your input on that. With that said, you sent me a very interesting thought about Oregon football that I wanted to get into here today. What are we talking about with the Ducks?
The Ducks, this is the season they've been, building for the last couple of years. Yet, last year was they were kind of a year early with, first time starting quarterback, a lot of inexperience at the skill positions and kind of scattered across multiple places. But this is kind of the year that's been targeted. This, much like some of the previous Big Ten teams that won the title, they had a lot of upperclassmen that eschewed the NFL draft and came back. So they have all the experience. They probably, maybe on paper, have less holes to poke in their roster and too deep than just about anybody. But are we glossing over the fact of having to replace both coordinators? DC Tosh Lapore goes on head coach at Cal, and obviously the OC Will Stein goes to Kentucky, and both hires come from within. Promotions there, Chris Hampton will be
former South Carolina defensive back.
Correct, and he does have some DC experience, obviously at Tulane, had pretty good defense there. He's been co-DC and in charge of the secondary since 2023, so I have less apprehension about that side of the ball, given Lanning and his background and being, obviously, Kirby Smart and all that. So I guess that where I would maybe have a little bit of concern maybe would be the offense. Drew Mehringer, another internal promotion. He's been, co-OC and tight end coach. He was kind of the, he's had kind of that title at several places, or passing game coordinator at, Texas, FAU, New Mexico. He does have some prior experience calling plays. JMU back in 2014, pretty good offense there. Then he was, I think at the time he was hired at Rutgers by Chris Ash. I think he was in his late 20s, so he's the youngest play caller at the time, 2016. You know, tried to do kind of the up-tempo spread offense and had not very good results. Maybe the personnel trying to implement that at Rutgers was maybe the issue more so than him. You know, we'll see. But, he's kind of been Stein's eye in the sky, so to speak, communicating from the box these last few years. So I would kind of think that's probably where he's going to be calling plays this year, calling from the booth. So we'll see. Obviously, you got a returning quarterback there and more. Maybe you give him some freedom making checks at the line, given that he's in his second year, and you've got, if you think last year they had so many injuries at wide receiver, and they've got some dynamic guys there, and so maybe they kind of add some tweaks there, maybe try to stretch the field a little more vertical game there. So they do replace a first-round tight end that they'll probably not, have a tough time doing, at least right off the bat. But if I'm an Oregon fan, I would be a little more nervous maybe about the offensive side more so than the defensive side. What would you think?
I would totally agree with that. And really the issues arise is that Lanning's going to be the defensive guy. And there might be a time where he does turn it over, but at this point in time, you always have that to fall back to. Anybody that, Lanning's been calling defenses for as long as he has, and that's a Saban model, and that's a Kirby Smart model. And he'll be fine with that. He came from that tree. He'll be fine with that. And I think Chris Hampton's got a very, very bright future. Matter of fact, if I'm South Carolina, I'm looking at Chris Hampton maybe as a head coach one day. Come back to the alma mater kind of thing. With that said, Mehringer, there's some question marks in there a little bit. Now, again, you mentioned the talent on offense he's going to have, especially with Dante Moore. But with that said, anytime you have turnover, you just run that risk. And a lot of times you nail the hire, but you don't know until it happens. And we've done that. I've done it here in the studio with our producers or our co-hosts and all that. And sometimes you think it's going to go great. Sometimes it doesn't go great. Sometimes you don't know and it does. But I'm 100% behind you on this. But can you have enough talent at quarterback to overcome that maybe? We'll see. We'll see, but it's a very good point.
Yeah, you got to think they're probably, preseason top three, I would guess, in some order with Ohio State and Texas, you would imagine. And you can make the argument that if you look at their schedule, they've got less potential roadblocks on there than what those other two will face. So, they could obviously they go to Columbus. They're in the second half of the year that they'll be an underdog in that game, but that's it. I would think they're probably double-digit favorites in every game other than that one and at Southern Cal. So, and you kind of got a easier, you got a little bit tricky maybe at Oklahoma State in week two just because the newness of Oklahoma State and that staff and all that turnover there, but obviously they'll be a sizable favorite there too. So you got a little bit of a hard runway those first few games before you make that trip to Southern Cal. But paper, they answer a lot of questions. It's just a little bit of that unknown for me with turning over both of those.
All right, let me just get your thoughts on this. I am a Lanning fan. I think Dan Lanning is a top three, top four, whatever, college football coach. But is it fair to criticize that in the big games, Oregon's going to be better than you on almost every game out there, but in the big games, he did go to Penn State last year, and we thought that was a big game by going in that atmosphere and winning, but we did find out that Penn State wasn't that good, and again, going on the road, I get it. Indiana comes in and beats them. Indiana beat him twice last year through all that. Besides that, he beat Texas Tech with a quarterback issue. The year before when they went 13-1, everything was great till they got just dusted by Ohio State. And again, he beat Penn State in the Big Ten championship game there. Besides that, well, they did go into Outson and win. Ohio State came to Outson. They did win that one by one. But my point is, like, in big games, man, I'm not sure. Is that fair? I believe he's a great coach. Is it fair, though, to kind of criticize?
Sure. I mean, he's on one hand, their losses the last 3 years were to teams that ended up playing in the national championship game.
Yep. Washington, Ohio State, and Indiana. That's his losses. Yep.
But at the same time, it has been some pretty fantastic flameouts there at the end. I mean, obviously, you get your second crack at Washington and still lose.
Second crack at Indiana and still lose.
And yeah. Second crack at Indiana, and they're still scoring. You get Ohio State in the Rose Bowl, and they're down 3 touchdowns by the time the national anthem's over. That's 100% fair. He's won some big games, but maybe not, the most important ones when it matters the most.
He's 17-1 in the Big Ten. He's 48-8 at Oregon. In conference play, he's 32-4, and I'm sitting here criticizing. And he's finished in the top. He's finished ranked every year. He finished the last 3 years 6th, 3rd, and 4th, and I'm sitting here criticizing. I think he's awesome. I think he's a great football coach, but he needs to win one here pretty soon. Hey, a quick Major League Baseball thought or two on the deadline before I ask the one Clemson question.
Yeah, just trade deadline obviously coming up. What is it? Monday. Is it? If you look at it. In the American League, you've got, Orioles, Cleveland, Minnesota, Texas, Houston, Seattle. They're all basically plus or minus 3 games of .500, all within 2, 2.5, 3 of the wild card, kind of the same thing. The National League, you've got the Marlins, Nationals, Pirates, Cardinals, Padres, all kind of plus or minus 3 games of .500, all within 2.5 games of the wild card. I mean, I think almost that because there's so many kind of so much kind of mediocrity there, does it make the trade deadline less interesting? Obviously, Scooble's going to go, but, the Mets are kind of open for business, but not, I don't know. It's maybe more exciting because more teams are in the mix, but maybe makes the trade deadline less exciting. I mean, there's not that many sellers because more teams kind of feel like they're in the mix, but, you get here to 1st of August and you're still kind of floundering at this point. You are what you are. You're still waiting on that one big winning streak, but probably not likely going to happen. But
the Red Sox and that amazing run they had under that 14-15 game win streak, whatever it was, that killed the Major League Baseball trade deadline for a lot of teams. There's only, to your point, there's only 6 teams that are more than 5.5 games out of a playoff spot right now in all of Major League Baseball. August 1st, and there's only 6 teams that are more than 5.5 games out of the playoff spot. So, you're 1 10-day window out from being in the playoffs. 1 8-day window out from being in the playoffs if it goes right for you. Now the hard part on the wild card's hard to win the division once it gets down to it because you got to beat so many teams and so many teams have to lose every single night. But to your point, there's 25 teams still in this thing.
A lot of buyers and not enough sellers.
Yeah, which is, if you're a seller, man, it's a seller's market. So you can do it there. All right. 2-part question for you. The first part, if I gave you right now, how many points Clemson, how many would you take and not even go down there to Baton Rouge? You wouldn't take 10. Would you take 14 and not play?
No, I think it has to be 20.
20, that's what I said. Ashby said 17. I could see that point. I said 20. But the point is, I think the fairly low expectation 24. For the offense going into that game.
Oh, 100%.
All right. How about as the season progresses, do you have more hope that this offense can, quarterback-wise, the run game going a little bit? I just don't have a whole lot of offensive positive thoughts at this point in time. What's your thought about the offense at this point?
Yeah, I'm kind of on that same wavelength. Obviously, the unknown factors into it, but not a ton of offensive positivity. Yeah, you don't know about the quarterback, but we're also kind of talking about, yeah, we need to get back to the run game, this and that, but you're also coming off a year where, you know, you had your most experienced offensive line ever and, gave up all these pressures and struggled to run the ball, but that's been a multi-year thing. So, you expect a bunch of turnover on the offensive line and change in philosophy and magically help you be able to run the ball. I don't know. That may be wishful thinking. I don't know. But yeah, you want to see incremental progress, obviously, as the year goes on. And obviously, quarterback's a big part of that. But that's the one side of the ball that, you know, I think we all feel pretty good that there'll be progress on defense. With the turnover and transfers they brought in and being able to do there. But offense, yeah, obviously, no clue.
Agree with that. Got to straighten the run game out. Job one, straighten the run game out on offense. Always appreciate it, buddy.
Like we've been saying that for a decade.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, since 2019, maybe. Yeah, 2020. So the most part of this decade, that's the case. Always enjoy it. Let's talk more college football when we're visiting the first time we'll talk in August next week.
Sounds good. You guys have your weekend.
You too. Josh Williams, same kind of thought we're thinking there. Now watch Clemson go score about 35 down there in Baton Rouge. When we come back, Ashby Mixon, I have the tweet of the day.
Ooh, fun.
If you like what Kirk Cignetti said about taking a shot at the SEC, I got another one for you. Short break, much more on the other side.
24/7, 365. The action never ends. For around-the-clock sports talk, catch the worldwide leader in sports on ESPN Radio. Right here on The Roar. A proud affiliate of the ESPN family.
Hey, our friends at Elkmont Trading Company want you to get ready for football season. They want to get you all the ready for the game day stuff. They also want to get you ready for a little fall. 66 degrees a day. Well, let's go. Let's go check out the L.L. Bean, the Patagonia, the Columbia, and the Free Fly, and the Z Supply. Let's go check out the Poncho Outdoors or the Filson. Let's go get the new Costas or the Maui Gyms, the Vioris, all those great name brands. The Birkenstocks, their own running shoes. Let's get all the great name brands over there. I'm going to tell you a little secret here. I'm investing in socks. That the socks make the shoe sometimes too. So let's go over there and get you a great couple of pair of socks. And let's start knocking that out, getting that a big part of what you're doing as well. These fine people at Elkmont know what they're doing. And ladies, with the ladies game day stuff and the ladies boutique stuff, you will absolutely love it. Elkmont Training Company, 93 and 123 here in Clemson.
From the locker room to your living room.
A lot of guys don't play good.
Sports talk is on the
company of love. Stan the man and how it works out. Have you... Ash, are you familiar with the All Dry logo of the duck? Have you seen their wrapped vehicle? Everywhere I go, I see it. This is something I get turned on to.
Let me look at this.
Yeah, I get turned on to something I've become aware of, and then it's everywhere all over the place. So I'm telling you, everywhere I go now, I see Stan and All Dry because I see that awesome duck and the awesome wrap thing there. All Dry is going to take care of this for you. Here's the bottom line. Don't mess around with mold. Don't mess around with water. Rapid response, local team, high character, upfront, honest. Don't do the big box tour. What they're going to do is hit or miss. It might be good, it might be bad, but they're going to try to, like, add things on to you. You don't know how to work out the insurance part of it. You know how to do the DIY stuff. Let's let these people come in, mitigate water issues for you, mitigate any damages, mitigate the mold. Let's take care of it. It's an awesome rinse at All Dry. MyAllDry.com. Easy to remember this, 864-863-1234, 864-863-1234. I have a tweet and a text of the day.
Incredible.
The tweet of the day, yesterday someone referenced Florida State in the season opener, really blowing out Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Running the ball down Alabama's throat and Bama not being able to run the ball at all. And the tweet was, after a very difficult SEC camp, Alabama was exhausted and beat up going down to the season opener at Florida State. They had SEC practices. Not even the SEC schedule. Not even the riggers, the meat grinders. It was the SEC fall camp.
To quote my dear friend Allen Iverson, we talk about practice.
Not a game.
Practice?
Yes.
That's the argument?
That's the deal that Alabama had to go through, the rigors of an SEC practice that Florida State didn't have to go through. The meat grinding practice of the SEC had them so worn down that Florida State took their lunch money.
Oh, Mickey.
Made them like it.
Is this a satire tweet?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, sometimes satire's better.
Sometimes I don't know anymore.
Yeah, satire works when you don't have to say think of satire or not. But yes, it was satirical. Yes.
They need to make, like, you know, the Onion and Babylon Bee and all those things?
Yes.
They have to make one for sports.
Well,
only
there
sports.
You go. There's your business model right there.
Because no one steal my idea. That is a glorious, glorious tweet.
You don't like it when I say this. When Florida State last year ran it for 230 yards and Alabama ran it for 87 yards, they shoved it down their throat. They ran it right down their throat. And they made them like it. And Alabama had no – but now we know why Alabama had no answers. It was the rigors of those practices, SEC practices.
Right. Yeah, that's one of the craziest arguments for having an entirely new team be successful that game.
Yeah. All right. Shane from Greenville gets in the text of the day. When I mentioned Chris Hampton, former South Carolina defensive back, that is now the defense coordinator at Oregon. Mm-hmm. And I said, look, if something happens to Shane Beamer, man, I'm calling Chris Hampton. You know, he come home. Mama's calling. Shane from Greenville says, if mama calls you home and home's is South Carolina and Columbia and the Gamecocks, you tell mama she's got the wrong number. You hang up.
Savage.
Do you,
Shane.
If you're Chris Hampton, do you take that job? I guess you're going to take the South Carolina head coaching job, right?
Yeah.
He appears to be on a pretty good trajectory, though. Just quickly, and let me get to Scott, because I want to get an update on Smoking Hot Wife Michelle. Chris Hampton, he's only 40. He was a GA at Arkansas State, a GA at Georgia Tech, defensive back coach at Arkansas, or Central Arkansas, defensive back coach at McNeese State in 2012 to 15. Tulane defensive back coach 16 to 19, Duke defensive back coach in 20, then Tulane defensive coordinator 21 and 22, Oregon co-defensive coordinator, safeties coach 23 to 25, and now Oregon defensive coordinator 26. We'll see how he does.
You go get him.
But now, a defensive coordinator for Oregon means that you're Dan Lanning's still the play caller on defense. But you're still, man, it's a good title to have. It's a really good title to have. And he's worked for Willie Fritz and now Dan Lanning. And was it Elko in 20 at Duke? Like, he's worked for good head coaches. He's got a good resume going. And maybe Chris Hampton? Am I the first person throwing this out there, Chris Hampton, future head coach of South Carolina?
I like it.
All right.
I like it a lot.
We'll see. Yesterday we found out, or 2 days ago we found out that Scott in Greenville texted in about his wife and some health issues. And yesterday told you open heart surgery. And Scott, I appreciate you giving us an update. Good morning, friend. Continued prayers. Give me some updates, man. Give me some good news on the show.
Oh yeah, man. I a lot less emotional day today than it was yesterday. But we about 1 o'clock yesterday, and I called Ben out of bounds yesterday, gave an update after post surgery. But I'll give you one this morning. About 1 o'clock, she come out of the surgery and everything is good. I got to see her for about 10 minutes and she looked horrible as far as, you know, all the tubes in her, the breathing tube in her and all that. They only let family see her for 10 minutes.
That's crazy.
I didn't even take the 10 minutes, man. I was just like, you're in good hands. I love you. I'll be back. She didn't know I was there anyway. She's in another planet. But I went back last night at 8 o'clock and I called before I went over there because they were going to gradually get her off the sedation, and I wasn't sure if she was out of it yet still or the tube was out and all that. And they said, man, tube's out. She's doing great. And, man, I go over there, and she's, like, sitting up in the bed, talking to everybody. You know, just like nothing's going on, you know. So it's fantastic. The good Lord has been good through all this whole thing. And the first time in I don't know how long the blood pressure had been close to 200, but the first time in 10 days that I know the blood pressure had not been hitting 200, but 133 over 67.
Let's
something
go.
Right along.
Let's
good.
Go.
So, well, yep, ready. So the road to recovery began yesterday. It gets easier for me today and for my family, but it gets a lot harder for her in that rehab. But they're going to get her up this morning walking. I got to be there by 8:30. I think we're going to take our first walk together and all that. So, man, I appreciate you letting me share that yesterday, and the continued prayers would be great. You know, I know how Dabo Swinney feels because I went from a wide receiver coach to the head coach at this house in one night, brother. And yeah. I got to figure out, I'm going to the, listen, this is no lie. I'm going to the hospital this morning. And on my list of things to do is to find out where my wife keeps some things at this house. So I know what to
That's
do.
That's fantastic.
You know?
It's
gonna be a fun night. So it looks like the doctor that finished in the top 50% of his class did a good job, and I'm so thankful for that. So it'll be good. But I just want to give you an update, man. I appreciate you. I love talking sports with you, and I love listening. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, brother, and I appreciate you giving me a few minutes to share my wife, because I've had listeners texting me and calling me and reaching out, and it's been fantastic.
Well, look, during the call yesterday, and then even after the call for the next 30 minutes, we got a bunch of texts. People say, I'm praying for Scott, I'm praying for Michelle, smoking hot wife, we're going to pray like crazy. People are doing that now, and they're texting right now saying, you know, let Scott know that she's on our prayer list and all that. So that's awesome. And I told you before, whatever you need, you let me know. We'll take care of that to you. And I can't help you out where she put everything in the house, but you'll figure it out.
I'll figure it out. And, you know, but it's been an adventure so far. But, yeah, I do appreciate the fact that the hospital only gives me – I was a little aggravated at first. I was like, I can only get 10 minutes? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You need that because she's in no state. And that'll loosen up as we go over the course of the next few days. But she's in the hospital probably till Tuesday.
Yeah.
Hopefully they go to a step-down room today, maybe tomorrow, if not today. But and then she'll be there for 3 to 5 days, depending on how she does.
Let me give you this. This is from 2265. It says, Mick, let Scott know she's going to be fine. I lived that movie back in 2016, and her life will be changed dramatically. Her best friend will be a heart-shaped pillow for several weeks. So, the you know, the soreness and then the rehab part of all that, coming off of all that. But you be there for her and put this thing behind you, and she'll be like $1 million here very soon.
You got it. And it was hard to keep up with her before the surgery. Now it's going to be probably even harder with all the energy she's going to have. But she's not going to know. They told us last night that you're not going to realize how bad you were until how good you are.
Yeah.
And we're thankful for that. But good days ahead, man. Keep talking it, man. I'm enjoying listening while I do my things during
Thanks,
the day.
Scott. So. Prayers to you, buddy.
Love you. Appreciate you, man.
All
see
right, you. Buddy. Texas said my sister did the same surgery at 39 years old 3 weeks ago. 39. That's from Mike. But we got one from Lake Murray Michael said yesterday that said, hey, these open heart surgeries now, it's not a, you know the difference in major surgery and minor surgery?
Tell me.
Major surgery was on me. Minor surgery was on you. But it's not routine. It's fairly routine now. Open heart surgeries become routine. What modern medicine through all that? I need to ask him if he got the tape rather than the wire, too.
I brought up the tape on the phone with my arthritis friend last night.
Yeah.
Like, you got to tell me about this tape.
Yes.
She's like, I've been here 2 weeks. I don't know about the tape.
All right. We got a lot to do in the next hour. I want to get into Kirk Cignetti comments and why that's fascinating and awesome. We'll get in our text line more. We have an open phone line segment. Now, that was supposed to be our readlandco.com segment, but Jinx is going to do it on Monday instead. So we got all open phone lines from here on out. More of the Clemson offense talk. We'll rehash that a little bit. We'll even make – I got a couple more points to make on the offense. So we'll do all that. I'd love to hear from you. Pratt Injury Lawyer phone line, 654-ROAR. Adams and Coder, who text line, 654-ROAR. That equates out to 654-7627. with Ashby and Mickey. Hour number three kicks off after a very short top of the hour break.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson, Greenville Anderson, WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens, 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar. The sports world never stops spinning. We bring order to the athletic calendar.
From sunup to sundown,
we've got you covered with the most up-to-date sports talk on the airwaves.
105.5, 97.5, The Roar.
Your upstate sports authority.
Chris Pratt, Pratt Injury Phone Lawyers, schedule or sponsor our phone lines for us. Our number is 654-ROAR. Theirs is easy to be found to 864-LAW.com. You need something in the upstate of South Carolina, 864-LAW.com. And we hear say it all the time. It's Pratt Injury for Lawyer phone lines that we have here, thanks to Chris Pratt and all that. So any kind of legal advice, getting those folks, it's Pratt Injury Lawyers. It's 864-LAW.com.
The games may end, but the opinions never stop.
You're totally off base on this.
105.5 and 97.5, The Roar.
Gilstrap Roofing's experienced team specializes in shingle.